looking around, seeing all the beautiful girls, and worried what to speak now. Because I was thinking people have come to know how to become beautiful, but I think we'll just change the topic and we'll discuss how to enhance the beauty further now, because all of you are looking so beautiful, each and everyone. So from the childhood, we grew up hearing the stories of Cinderella and the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs and the Beauty and the Beast, and so many others about the beautiful girls. And right from that time, somewhere we hold in our heart this impression that being beautiful is something very special. Good things happen to beautiful people. Ultimately, everything is good with beautiful people. And as we grow up, we see in the world that the people around us also value beauty so much. So much they want to be beautiful. We see people with dark complexion want to have fair skin. There are so many cosmetics provided for that. And we see people from Western countries who naturally have fair complexion. They lay in the sun for hours to have their skin, on their skin, some tan. You know, they don't like fair skin. And we see those with nice curls on of their hair. They want to straighten their hair. They do ironing and many other things, I don't know. Those who have straight hairs, they want to perm, they want to have curls. Those who are very thin are worried about how to put on some fat to get a nice good figure. Those who are fat want to lose weight as quickly as possible, or anyways. There was a nice joke I just heard 2-3 days back of a lady who was very fat and wanted to lose weight without much efforts. So she went to a doctor and she told the doctor that, doctor, I want to reduce 5 kgs in a week, you know, in a week's time. And I really want to be thin with this rate. So please tell me some easy way, you know, because I don't have much time to do other things. So doctor said, yeah, definitely I'll tell you. There is a very nice asana that I will teach you. Everyone knows asana? Yoga people do, right? So this nice asana I will teach you, and if you just do this, you will lose more than 5 kgs in a week. And the lady became very happy. And the doctor said, but you have to pay me 5,000 rupees, 1,000 rupee per kg. She immediately signed a check for 5,000 rupees and gave it to the doctor. And the doctor said, so the asana is you move your neck from your left side to your right and from your right side to your left. Okay, and she said, huh. And then he said, no, that's all. That's the asana. She said, oh, so simple, and I'll lose weight. Yeah, definitely you'll lose weight. She was very happy and excited. Such a simple way of losing weight. And she started going out of the clinic and suddenly stopped and said, doctor, but you didn't tell me how many times a day I should be doing this asana. The doctor said, oh, actually, every time anyone offers you some food to eat, you should do this asana. Like this. So you see how people are even ready to be fooled for getting what they want for their beauty. So we thought, let us not get fooled with the world, who are, you know, people sitting around selling so many things and are promising that do this to become beautiful, do this to become beautiful. And most of the times the experiences are very frustrating. So we thought we'll discuss this topic of becoming beautiful very scientifically. There is a modern science and there is Vedic science. The Vedic science is, the science word comes from Shastra. So we are very fortunate to have this Vedic science, the Shastras, which guide us, you know, guide us on each level for each thing. So we are going to discuss this topic from Niti Shastra. Niti means morality and Shastra is science. So in Niti Shastra, there is a beautiful verse which explains the different levels of beauty. There is a nice shloka which says that Narasya Abharanam Rupam, Rupasya Abharanam Gunam, Gunasya Abharanam Jnanam, Jnanasya Abharanam Kshama. So what it says is Narasya Abharanam Rupam. So Narasya, that is a person's, Abharanam is ornament, is what? Rupam, beauty. That's why we all have come here. That the ornament of a person is beauty. Now suppose 50 people are made to stand in front of you, whom you will be most attracted to? Which person you will be most attracted to? One who is most beautiful, right? One who looks beautiful. So that is very, very natural, that when you see a beautiful person, you feel attracted to that person. So let's see what are the advantages of being beautiful. The first thing that happens is you become popular and famous. People start, you know, remembering you. They remember, oh, this particular person, very beautiful, very beautiful. We know the most famous people in this world today are whom? Do you know? The film stars. Of course, with their makeup on, they are very famous. The most famous, so much so that, you know, if they contest an election, people, without considering how much good they can do for the country and how much understanding they have about this topic, they just vote for them. Just because they are beautiful and famous. There are other nice young people who might be wanting to do good for country, but just because they are not beautiful and famous, people just blindly vote for film stars. So many film stars are elected just on their beauty. So when it becomes popular, another thing happens is you feel confident. I can't say become confident, but you feel confident. When you are beautiful, you feel that you have something which people value. And you have something which not everyone has. So you feel that you can carry yourself with a lot of confidence around. And third thing that happens is quite similar to first two things is you impress people. Generally, it's very easy to impress on people with your beauty. Before making any point, just if you have beauty, people have first impression nice and they are willing to, you know, understand what you want to say or what you want to show. So there are advantages of having physical beauty, of being beautiful. But just as every coin has two sides, all these nice advantages have their flip sides. Just like there was a very famous actress, Marilyn Monroe. Have you heard about Marilyn Monroe? She was considered as the symbol of beauty. In her times, she was so beautiful that practically she was on every magazine, on every poster, on every news channel, on every TV channel. You know, her shows were on, her movies were like very, very, very famous. And when she was interviewed, Miss Marilyn Monroe, how do you feel being so beautiful and so famous, being on the top of everyone's mind? How do you feel? Do you know what was her response? Her response was, I hate being a thing. I hate being a thing. So that's what she felt. Though people were, you know, voting for her beauty and her photographs were displayed everywhere, what she was feeling that she is not considered as a being but a thing. Her beauty was just used for others' pleasure, and she was not receiving any pleasure or any satisfaction out of that. Another thing is about being confident. That's very nice, but if beauty is a criteria we think for gaining confidence, then there is a very thin line between being confident and being proud, you know. And most of the cases it happens that sooner we start feeling proud of our beauty and we start looking down on people who don't possess beauty, and we start making offenses. And offenses are, when we make offenses to people, it hampers our progress, even materially. Now, what to speak of spiritually? Even materially, when a person is offensive and proud, he cannot grow much, ultimately. And third was about impressing. Now, this thing about beauty causes you a lot of anxiety. When you impress people with your beauty, you always are anxious of someone more beautiful than you coming around and you losing your beauty. Just one pimple comes up and you are like, whoosh, ultra clear cell. Or whatever. That was at my time. I don't know, many other things now. So you are very much worried, and ultimately the time. How much ever costly cosmetics you use, ultimately the time has to prove its power. You know, with the age you lose beauty. So if we are thinking that this is the thing I want to impress people with, this is the thing for which people should value me, then that will not last longer. And that's why the scriptures, the shastras, they don't stop at this point and they take us further deep. What is the second thing is rupasya abharanam gunam. So now we have understood the word abharanam, that is the ornament. What is the ornament of beauty? Ornament of beauty is gunam, the qualities, the virtues. So there is a very nice story in this regard from Ramayana, the story of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi was one of the queens of Dasharatha Maharaj, and she was the most beautiful queen and so was the most favorite of the king, obviously. And when Ram was announced to be the future king, Kaikeyi was very happy, but her ears and her heart was poisoned by the wicked Manthara. Everyone knows this story, right? So I'm just briefly explaining it, not going into the details. So Manthara poisoned the heart of Kaikeyi and told her that this is not a right thing, and you are going to lose all your pleasures if Ram becomes the king. So for you to, you know, have ultimate pleasures, your son should become king. So now you demand from the king that your son should become king. But if Ram is around, this cannot happen, because everyone in the kingdom loves Ram. So Manthara told Kaikeyi that there are two boons that Maharaj Dasharatha has promised you on the battlefield. Now this is the right time you should ask the boons. And she told the Kaikeyi what to ask, and Kaikeyi then went to the Kopagraha in the palace. Anyone knows what is Kopagraha? Kopagraha is a place provided in king's palace where the queens can go when they are angry and express their anger. Now staying in Bombay, it's very difficult to conceive of the idea of having a separate room to express anger, you know, where getting a place to live, sit and eat and sleep is a luxury. For us to understand, for a Kopagraha for the ladies of Mumbai can be understood as the compartment of local train, wherein you get angry at home, you get angry in the office, and just remove your anger once and for all in the local train by pushing, by pinching, by hitting. You know, so many people do that. Fortunately, the husbands are not allowed. so they are saved. So Dashrath Maharaj, when he learned that Kaikeyi has entered Kopagraha, he immediately started going to see what has happened. But as he was walking towards the Kopagraha, he was worried. He was worried, now what this lady is going to ask from me? Because she is angry. She can ask for anything, and I just hope that she doesn't ask anything which is difficult for me to give and which is very dear to my heart. He was really worried. And he entered the Kopagraha and he saw Kaikeyi, and he just forgot about all the worries. Looking at her beauty, he started speaking and said, Kaikeyi, what you want me to do? What do you want? Just tell me. Why are you unhappy? He said, I can do anything for you. He said many things. He said things like, if there is someone who is sinful and has sentenced to death, has been sentenced to death, you tell me, I'll stop his punishment right away. And if someone is innocent and you want me to hang him, I'll do that right away. I'll make a rich person a beggar, and I'll make a beggar into a millionaire. You tell me what you want me to do. So as he was speaking, she said, I want to ask the two boons that you had promised. And he said, yes, ask whatever you want, you ask. He said, because of all beautiful women, you are the one whom I am most attached to. And of all the beautiful men, it's Ram whom I am most attached to. So on the name of Ram, I promise, you ask whatever you want. And she asked that, I want the first boon, that my son Bharat be coronated as king, and Ram to be banished to forest for 14 years. And when Dashrath Maharaj heard that, that was the end of his life. His heart was broken. He had no interest left what to speak in Kaikeyi, but in life. He gave up his life in separation from Lord Ram. So for him, Kaikeyi had no value thereafter. And Bharat, when he learnt about his mother's plan, he rejected his mother. He said, I don't accept you as my mother. I am not your son. And what to speak of the kingdom, who loved Lord Ram so much. They just hated Kaikeyi for causing this separation from their beloved Lord. So here we see, though the physical beauty was still present, but she lacked the virtuous qualities. And that's what made her beauty worthless. So from here, we come to this point of the internal beauty, the beauty of the heart, the beauty of possessing wonderful virtues, the virtuous qualities. There are so many advantages we saw of having physical beauty. So let's see what are the advantages of having this internal beauty, the beauty of heart. The first and foremost advantage is this beauty is not affected by time. It is such a great relief that this beauty stays forever. You know, rather, as the time goes and we practice more, this beauty increases with time. Have you seen? Old people becoming beautiful. As you become old, you become beautiful. So this is the beauty of this beauty. And another thing is, there is no anxiety of someone being more beautiful than you. Because when you have virtuous qualities, you are very happy to see if someone else has beautiful qualities. And just by appreciating someone else's beautiful qualities, you become more beautiful. So nice. When you see someone else beautiful, beautiful at heart, and you think that, oh, that person is so beautiful, your heart becomes beautiful. That's so nice. And these qualities is what is of real value, true value. There was a nice poem I had got, but on the way I lost it somewhere before I reached the temple. But there are a few nice lines which explain a lady's beauty in a simple words. When we are speaking of the qualities, we speak of the qualities like humility, tolerance, self-control, modesty, honesty, simplicity, simplicity of heart. There are very nice lines which someone gave me just a few days back. It said, willingness to listen, patience to understand, strength to support, heart to care, and just to be there. That is the beauty of a lady. We focus on so many other things and forget what is our role. For what we want to be beautiful. Being ladies, we play such an important role in the society, but because there is so much bombardment about physically being only, you know, being physically beautiful, we just get so diverted and distracted and focus on something which is of very little or nil value in regards to moving ahead in life. We just neglect or even if we know, we just don't pay much attention to developing these qualities or importance of these qualities. So after we understand this beauty of virtuous qualities, we still go to the third level. What is the third level? The Shastras tell us is Gunasya Abharanam Jnanam. They say that the beauty, the ornament of this beauty of qualities, gunas, is knowledge. Now this knowledge doesn't refer here to education. Education definitely has its own role to play. But this jnanam here refers to the transcendental knowledge. The knowledge which comes from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, from the spiritual master, from the great souls and from the scriptures. So if we have virtuous qualities and our virtuous qualities are guided and guarded by this transcendental knowledge, then it enhances our beauty. Again, there is a nice story from Ramayana. I've been hearing Ramayana, so I'm quoting all the examples from Ramayana. This is a story of Mother Sita. Mother Sita is the storehouse of all the virtuous qualities. Now, this is just a pastime from which we learn lessons. I'm telling it as a pastime to learn the lessons. This has many other aspects also. So when Sita Devi, Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were staying in the forest of Dandakaranya in Panchavati, one day a beautiful golden deer came to their kutir, and Sita Devi was very attracted to this deer. And she asked Lord Ram, can I please have this deer? Because it's so beautiful. It will be nice to have him around. So Lord Ram said yes. And he started following the deer in order to catch him and get him. But the deer led Lord Ram deep into the forest, very deep away from the kutir. And then it was becoming difficult for the deer, for Lord Ram to catch, so Lord Ram just shot an arrow to the deer, and the arrow hit the deer, and the deer fell to the ground. Now, all of us know that it was not a deer, but it was a demon who had come there on the instructions of Ravana. And this Marich demon, when it fell to the ground, he cried out the names of Mother Sita and Lakshman. He cried out, Sita, Sita, Lakshman, save me. And when Mother Sita from the distance heard this, she urged Lakshman that you go, Lord Ram is in danger, you should help, he is asking for help. And Lakshman said, no, this cannot be, Lord cannot be in danger, don't worry. But she urged that you must go and help, just see at least what has happened. So Lakshmanji agreed unwillingly. But before going, what he did with his bow, he drew a line. What is it? What is that line? The Lakshman Rekha. Drew the line and told Mother Sita, just stay inside this line and you will be safe. No one can harm you. And she said yes. And when Lakshmanji left, Ravana came there, disguised as a sadhu, asking for some bhiksha. And he was asking for alms. And when Mother Sita was giving him, he told her, "You come, you know, come ahead." So she said, "I cannot cross the line." So he said, "No, you can, you should come, because otherwise it will be offensive. I will not accept your arms." So she said, "Okay, fine." And she crossed the line. As soon as she crossed the line, Ravana grabbed her hands, put her on the aeroplane, and he just took her away, kidnapped her. So here now, this Sita Devi represents our virtuous qualities, and this Lakshman Rekha, the line, represents the transcendental knowledge. Lakshmanji represents Guru. So when our qualities are guided and guarded by this Lakshman Rekha of the knowledge, we are always safe, and they enhance our beauty. Otherwise, there is always a danger that we may lose them, or we may misuse them. Misuse means we may use them at wrong place, at wrong time, or we may, others may misuse our wonderful qualities, taking advantage. That's why this protection of knowledge is very important. Just to make the point clear, I just thought the example of Arjuna. Arjuna was having so many virtuous qualities. He was so soft-hearted that when he came on the battlefield and saw all his relatives standing there, friends and relatives, to fight, because of his soft heart, he told Lord Krishna that, "I don't want to fight, because how can I kill them? How can I kill my own relatives and friends? And even if I do that, and even if I'm victorious, how can I enjoy the kingdom at the cost of their life? So I don't want to do this." So what was happening here was his virtuous qualities were stopping him from executing his duties. He was supposed to fight. And then Krishna spoke the science of Bhagavad Gita. He explained to him why he should fight. And he told him that how these people, the Kauravas, are punishable. It is mentioned that there are six types of aggressors who deserve punishment. Anyone knows? Many people must be knowing, but I'll just wind up quickly. That one who administers poison, one who sets your house on fire, one who attacks you with deadly weapons, one who plunders your wealth, one who occupies your land, and one who kidnaps your wife, someone else's wife, is a atatai, an aggressor. And that person has to be punished. And Kauravas had done all these things to Pandavas. They had done all this, not only one. Even if a person does one, he is punishable. And Kauravas had done all this. And if Arjuna, it was Arjuna's duty, a service, and that was a real compassion. If he would have punished them, it was a real compassion to good people who were suffering because of Kauravas and who had suffered because of Kauravas. So thus the transcendental knowledge, when we know how to use our virtues. And then only the virtue, that's how the knowledge becomes the ornament of virtues. It is a step ahead of virtues. And now we come to the final point, where the science says that Jnanasya Abharanam Kshama. It says that the ornament of this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, is Kshama. Now Kshama here doesn't refer to only a literal translation as forgiveness, but here it refers to the extended forgiveness, that is compassion. Now Sanskrit is a very rich language, so there is no one meaning to word, and the scriptures are contextual. They are not textual, they are contextual. So you have to understand in which context the word has been used. So here this word kshama refers to compassion. So the scriptures say Now this compassion is the ultimate ornament, the ultimate beauty, which makes you beautiful. And this compassion actually is a quality of one who has love for God, who loves God. A great Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, explains that when one loves God, his love in this world is manifested as compassion towards other living entities. We see all the great souls exhibit this quality of compassion, and they are so attractive because of this one quality. Much more attractive than the film stars with their beauty, with makeup. Some may have with little less makeup or even without makeup. Ultimately, which is the beauty which, you know, the time will take away sooner or later. So this great devotee is out of compassion for all of us. They accept inconveniences and tribulations, you know, to give and share this love which they have in their heart. And that's what makes them so attractive. The saints, like all the great saints of all the religion, like Tukaram Maharaj, Ramanujacharya, and Jesus Christ, they exhibit the extreme level of compassion. And the example which is most close to us is that of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, as a sannyasi, was staying in Vrindavan, which is the best place to practice your devotional service. And at that time, it was all the more. So Prabhupada could have just easily continued comfortably staying in Vrindavan, executing his devotional service. But by the order of his spiritual master and the compassion that he had for all the suffering souls, he left Vrindavan and went to which place, you know? He went to the United States of America, USA, to preach this message. He traveled on cargo ship, suffered so many heart attacks. Even before he reached America, and when he reached there, he was preaching to people who were so unclean in their habits, the hippies that time, and they hardly understood what he's speaking, because Prabhupada had initially very heavy Bengali accent to his English, so people would hardly understand. But still, Prabhupada would arrange programs for them. He would preach to them. He would cook for them. He would feed them, serve them. He would clean their plates after they went. He would clean the place. And soon, these people became so affected by Srila Prabhupada, not necessarily only with the philosophy, but definitely because of his love for them, because of his concern for them, and because of his compassion, then these hippies were turned into happies. They became bright-faced, you know, gentle men and ladies. In fact, I was just hearing the class of Prabhupada yesterday, and Prabhupada says that it seems there was an article in the newspaper, and he is congratulating the devotees, saying that, see, the newspaper is saying that Hare Krishna devotees are beautiful people. You all look so beautiful, shaven-headed and so bright with the tilak on. So Prabhupada's compassion changed them, literally changed them, made them into beautiful people. And then so many others were just attracted to Prabhupada. People like Alfred Ford, George Harrison, and so many others were just ready to give their lives. Just seeing his compassion, attracted by his compassion. Even to this date, when Srila Prabhupada's disciples, you know, they talk about him, they just remember his smile and they cry. They cry the tears of affection. Why? Because Because his smile is not just a sweet smile. Not a sweet smile. Just a sweet smile, but it's a smile of love. A smile of compassion. And it is this compassion which makes the great soul so attractive and beautiful, not only to the people of world, this world, but even to the Lord, the supremely beautiful and attractive Lord. I just heard this, that if someone is very beautiful and he is attracted to someone, then that person must possess something more beautiful than the beautiful person itself. So it's like that. If the Lord is attracted to you, then you must have something which is so much more attractive. So this particular quality is a natural byproduct of devotional service. This devotional service, actually when we take up to devotional service, all these levels of beauty naturally follow. This wonderful qualities and the knowledge and ultimately the compassion, the kindness, they naturally follow. They are the natural byproducts of devotional service. The only thing what we have to do is, you know, not get affected by the propaganda and take the message seriously. There is a nice joke. I think the time is getting up. Just one, this nice joke you will like. There was this girl, Smita. If anyone's Smita, not you. This is some name, Smita. She was planning to travel to London. So very excited, she started preparing from months before, started visiting beauty parlor and, you know, getting her, I don't know what, facelift or something like that, and getting facial done and bleaching done and the pedicure and the manicure and whatever other things she started. And she just changed her appearance completely, and now she was very happy that she felt that she is quite presentable now, going to the Western countries and being there. So the day came when she had to take her flight. So with all enthusiasm she went, and she was waiting for the flight. She was looking around all the flashy things on the airport, and she saw this amazing weighing machine which looked so, you know, so different than others. And she went and she said, she thought, I'll try, you know. So she went and she stood in front of the machine. This machine was a different machine. You don't have to stand on the machine, you just stand right in front of the machine. So she stood in front of the machine, and machine said, welcome, your name is Smita and your weight is 55 and you are taking a flight to London. And she was like, my God, how does this machine know me? I have changed my appearance and it still knows my name. You know, how, you know, it's really surprising. So she went in the washroom. She thought, I better change my lenses. So she took out the lenses. She put some different color lenses. She changed the shade of her lipstick, her eyeshadow. She, again, you know, with a different hairstyle, she went and stood in front of the machine, and the machine said, welcome, you are Smita, your weight is 55 and you are taking a flight to London. And this time she was really amazed. She said, what's happening? How it is recognizing my name? How it is recognizing me? So she again went into the washroom. She changed her dress. Now she wore a different jeans, a different top, a jacket on, wore a scarf. She thought, I'll wear a goggle. She wore a goggle. Another made some different hairstyle. Very confidently stood in front of the machine, and the machine said, welcome, your name is Smita, your weight is 55 and you have missed your flight to London. So this is what happens, you know. We have been introduced to devotional service, we have come to ISKCON in contact with the right process. So now let's not get carried away with the false propaganda. Let's stay on the path, you know, and take a flight, you know, achieve the real beauty. Let's not get diverted and distracted. Let's take the message seriously. Let's become beautiful at heart. That beauty will reflect on your face, believe me. I know in the initial days of Krishna consciousness, we would be so attracted to devotees. I was in Pune, and whenever we would come, even in Pune, and whenever we would visit here to Bombay, we would see devotees and we would be, wow. They look so bright and nice. And my friend would, you know, when we were in the hostel, she would look at me and smile and say, do I look like her now? So bright. So the beauty of heart does reflect on your face. Though the beauty of face is not so much important, but it will reflect. So those who are concerned, please be assured that this is the real beauty which we are striving for. And I know many of you were surprised when I came on the asana. I saw many people were looking like this. I think people were waiting for the drama, and which usually happens before the class, but here we thought we'll spare the best for the last. The girls are performing pantomime show for the first time in Chetana, and I hope they are ready. Are they ready? Can anyone find out? Girls are ready? Oh no. Vrat Swamini. Till then, if there are any questions, we can. More questions, maybe. You all already look so convinced. It was just a revision for me. Sorry, question, eh? Yeah. Mic nahi hai kya? You can be a little louder. Sorry? Yes. Sir, question is, if you are conscious about your beauty, then does that also hamper your spiritual progress? I won't say it will stop your spiritual progress, but it will slow down, it may slow down the process. Because, see, it's like if you are doing something, and you know, if you're doing two things side by side, then naturally, you know, the speed is little less. So being conscious of beauty, basically, you know, if you're just conscious of being presentable and not, you know, I'm not shabby and not well, you know, presented, then that's fine. That should be, you know, taken into consideration. Even devotees are not, it's not that devotees don't care anything about their bodies, but definitely beauty in a, when taken as all in all and focused, then that may cause some distraction and may not hamper. But as you practice devotional service, the natural outcome is that slowly you will not give that much focus on your beauty, and definitely will give more focus on, will be more focused on developing the internal beauty. Hare Krishna. Actually, because the time was, and was looking at the watch and the speaking, I wanted to mention this point, that how do we become beautiful? We discussed, the topic was becoming beautiful, but we didn't exactly discuss this, you know, under this particular head, that how to become beautiful. First is that it's very easy becoming beautiful. You know, at heart is very easy, because when you associate with those who are beautiful, you become beautiful. And that's again the beauty of this beauty. Huh? Physically beautiful people, if you are around them, initially you appreciate, and after some time, either after their true nature comes up, you don't like them, and definitely you don't become beautiful just staying around them. Definitely not, in no way, unless you put a mirror on your face and see their reflection on in it. But internal beauty is so nice that just by, you know, being in the association of beautiful people, you become beautiful. By hearing from them and just by being with them, you absorb their qualities. And in our day-to-day life, by sharing this message of Krishna consciousness, we show the compassion. Just giving prasad, you know, I'm just speaking as girls to our friends, just by giving prasad, inviting them for chetna, which many of you have done, inviting them to come to temple, giving them books, so many wonderful books written by Srila Prabhupada, you know, helping them to understand this message and helping them to understand what is of real value in life. You know, thus, that is how we can show compassion in day-to-day life on our level. Because we are not on the level of the pure devotees that we go to accept so many tribulations and all. But from our side, from our level, we can do this small things. Someone else also raised hand. We can have start drama. This drama is about a girl trying various means to be beautiful, becoming beautiful. And then ultimately how she becomes beautiful.